You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. This is Asia, and as always, I am joined by Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I wish I was doing better. knowing what is to come with this season, I thought we were going to be sitting here talking about the finale, talking about what decisions were made, gearing up for the reunion. I was so excited. And then to find out that we're just continuing to gear up for the finale. I mean, we're nowhere close.
It's a marathon at this point. Marathon.
Exactly. And I should have expected this from them. They always do it. You know, they drag us along. They're like the challenge in that way. You know, like the challenge on MTV. You watch that every season. It's always like, oh my gosh, I've been watching this for the past 3 or 4 months because they just keep dragging it on and keep dragging it on. And yeah, they're doing that with this.
But why? I feel like it didn't feel this way with last season.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about this season?
You know, with last season, COVID came out of nowhere. So they were like, oh my gosh, what do we do? What do we do? We have to pivot. And so then, you know, we were left without like a like legit reunion, you know, with everyone there and being more planful about it. Whereas with this season, they knew what COVID was. They knew what to expect. They knew how to accommodate for it. And so they were just like, look, we're going to milk this for what it's worth. And you are going to be with us strapped in for, I mean, what is it at this point? 16 weeks?
Yeah, that's
then
true.
We another probably, month to come.
Last season, we probably didn't have as many episodes because they're like, well, we're going to do what we can with the footage and try to wrap this up. And so I don't remember like the season before how it kind of maybe dragged on a little more.
Exactly. Yeah. But before we get started, thank you guys for hanging with us and being patient for this episode. I did get the second dose of the vaccine last week and it hit me pretty hard. So I definitely needed to recover when we were going to record. And so because it's delayed, we are also going to have some bonus coverage of Unmatchables. So if you stick with us as we talk about episodes 15 and 16. Then after that, we are going to, you know, dive into the first two episodes of Unmatchables because, Amy, I will say I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of fun to, I think my favorite part is how these people think that they're going to be cast on Married at First Sight, which is probably the only, maybe this season and next season, if they continue it, are the only times that they can like get away with that with that like bait and switch. So exactly. I think that's my favorite is that they actually kind of went along with that, like, so they think they're gonna find out what that they're getting matched and it's like, you're unmatchable.
Right. Yeah, that was so cute. It was a cute way to do it. And then these people are just characters within themselves. So it's gonna be a blast to talk about. So I guess to kind of prepare you guys for what's to come over the next month. So this week, which is the week that the episode that would come on May 5th, they are doing a countdown to decision day. So no, the finale is not on May 5th. It is a countdown to decision day where previous couples are going to talk about this season, talk about the couples, talk about their predictions and their opinions. Then on May 12th, we'll have the actual finale where we will find out who stays married and who gets a divorce. And then in true Married at First Sight fashion, they are doing a two-part reunion. So on the 19th, we're going to get a part one, and on the 26th, we should get a part two. That's my understanding at this point in time. Of course, you know, they obviously could always change it and maybe do one part reunion, or even they could try to do a three-part reunion. Who knows? But because that means that we'll be, you know, we'll have this episode and then we'll be back to talk about Decision Day next week. And then we'll be back to talk about the reunions, both parts. We will also cover the episodes of Unmatchables that have occurred up to that point. So we will have some content for you guys packed into this Married at First Sight wrap up. So get ready, be prepared, and have fun with us. So I guess anything else to add on this crazy schedule, Amy?
Yeah, just like, we'll just keep on rolling, you know, you'll just take us to the next season, I think. So,
right. Yeah. Who knows? They haven't, you know, maybe they'll announce it this week. Maybe they'll announce it next week when Married at First Sight Houston. So season 13 is premiering. So I'm sure it will be soon. I mean, they're definitely not going to take their foot off the gas, especially with the fact that Unmatchables is currently airing. They were airing Couples Cam in the same time earlier this season of Married at First Sight season 12. So, you know, I could very well see us going right into the premiere of season 13. We will see. Mm-hmm. When we find out, we'll let you guys know. And so there we go. We'll be flexible.
Yes.
So as for this episode, we are talking about episodes 15 and 16. You know, it really is one of those things, Amy, though, that, like, how do you say it? I've kind of lost that momentum. Like, I would say maybe 3-4 episodes ago, I was so ready and I was passionate about knowing what the decisions were going to be. But I feel like the more they drag it along, the more it's like certain couples, I'm like, at this point, I don't care if they decide to stay married or get a divorce, because if they do decide to stay married, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, so kind of knocked the wind out of us. Mm-hmm. Or me at least. I don't know about you.
Yeah, the writing's on the wall. I feel like I like to keep guessing, and with these couples, there's no guessing, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They make it very it's in our face. And so I will say, even though no matter what we think is going to happen, we still may be very surprised on decision day, because people that we think should not decide to stay together could. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, what are you doing? So I now that I say that, I'm thinking back, okay, I'm excited again. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about episode 15 and 16. So episode 15, the couples go on a couples retreat to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and they spend some time together, and they also each go on dates while they are here at this retreat. And then episode 16 is, you know, it's the, oh, we have less than a week until decision day, and the couples are back home, and all of the couples talk to their individual friends about kind of where their head's at the moment. And then they have one last date before decision day. And so we can kind of see where the couples leave off before they, you know, go to their separate places, before they have to go in and make their decision on decision day. So that kind of paints the picture. And so the couples did have some time together in episode 15, but the way that we're going to kind of talk about it is framed with which couple had the most, which couple had the most information revealed in that group activity. I think, you know, we could start, Amy, with a couple that I don't know if we've started with them yet. Have we ever started an episode with Haley and Jacob?
I don't know.
I don't think we have.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, let's change it up and start with these two.
Get out of the way.
So we do know it's day 47 of the experiment, and we know the decision day is in a week. And, you know, we left off last episode with the bracelet drama where Jacob had given Haley a bracelet at their wedding, and she has not had it in her possession since then. So we start off this episode with Haley's mom had overnighted the bracelet, and she gives it back to him. And she says, like, she wouldn't have worn it anyway. And I'm like, Haley, you are still, to this moment, missing the point.
Yeah. She just can't get past, like, or just can't see her fault in this.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, will she ever? Like, even if watching it back, would she, you know?
Yeah, and I haven't kept up with, like, watching the unfiltereds before, because I feel like that would be the only chance. All I can see is that she could, maybe she would see audience reaction and then she might change her tune about it. But other than that, I don't think she gets that. Like, she just sees it as, like, being tacky about taking a gift back.
Right. Exactly.
And not her part in, you know, why that would be hurtful. And even, like, Dr. Pepper said that about her before, that she doesn't really, like, have that empathy.
Exactly. And she does have that one really honest friend that she, at the very beginning, that she met with and talked to before she was married. And so I could see maybe once she watches the season and, like, kind of, like, real time right now, is able to say, like, okay, Haley, like, you know, you were in the wrong there. You should have, you know, you could have been more open to this, or you could have been less critical of this. So maybe, like, real time, she may.
That's probably a reason why she didn't invite that friend back.
Yeah.
Somebody, the friend that was going to bash Jacob with her.
Yep. She's like, no. That's not the friend I want right now. I just want somebody to kind of feed off of.
Yep.
So they did drive separately to this retreat. And, you know, I wouldn't have expected anything else. A car ride would have been awkward for them. But Jacob arrives first, and he's kind of, like, looking around. He decides to cook himself 8 eggs. And then Haley arrives, and she's, like, caught off guard that he's cooking egg or eating these eggs, because she's like, well, I thought we were going to cook dinner for everyone. Like, that's what we planned. He was like, well, I didn't know what time you were going to get here, and I didn't want to be hungry. And I text you for your ETA and you didn't respond.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, she's just looking for a fight right away.
Yes.
She comes in like, what can I comment on?
Right.
Oh, she's, you're right, eating right now. And I think we all know Jacob has his set schedule of eating those eggs. Like, he's not going to deviate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Exactly. And he very well could still, I mean, eating 8 eggs does not stop him from preparing dinner for other people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, he may not
eat, but that. He doesn't eat anything but steak and eggs, so.
Right. So I think she decided to walk in and choose violence because she didn't have any. She's like, that's just like her default at this point. Not, oh, how was your drive? Oh, you're eating eggs. Okay. Once you finish, we can prepare dinner for everybody. Like, there's no reason for an argument every time you interact.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, should the show institute something where it's like, okay, if we can tell you're just going through the motions to get, like, your final stipend check, should they cut them off? And because it's like, you're not, you can't even take a car ride together. Why are you bringing down all these other couples at this retreat? I mean, I know it, like, makes for maybe a little bit more interesting TV because everyone else is getting along for the most part. But, you know, if they want to save some money and say, like, you know what, you're not really committed to this process, because it's not just about, like, they treat it like, okay, we just get to the finish line and then show up on decision day. But if you can't coexist, then you're not really, like, working through any of this stuff. And
Right.
It's just so fake, like, trying to, the little interviews they have. And I think Haley's the only one that's kind of, like, playing it along. Like, Jake, it's kind of obvious. Like, he'll just say, like, well, I don't want to get divorced. Like, I don't want to, you know, be single and 40 or whatever. But, you know, she's like, oh, maybe like it was a little better this week, and it's just not convincing.
Exactly. So,
like, what would motivate them to kind of get past this? It's kind of like those other like reality shows where people are playing for the jury or something. It just seems like, okay, we're just going through emotions. You don't really care about like the end result.
Hmm. Yeah. I hate to say of like, you know, if they're like, okay, it's your 1 year anniversary, Married at First Sight, will fund a like 1 week getaway in an exotic location. But then it's like, okay, then are they really doing it for the right reasons? Or is it like a Miles and Karen situation where it's like, okay, we're together longer. Let's try to make this work, you know? I don't know. I don't.
Would it just be like Katie and Derek where it's like, oh, they stayed together and then like somebody's cheating and.
Yep.
She gets out, but you get the health insurance out of it.
Right. Yeah. If they didn't break up Paige and Chris, I knew they weren't stepping in for anyone else.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, man. It sucks. But that's. Mm. That's what we have to witness. Once all the other couples arrive, we did have a game night. Well, all the couples except for Claire and Ryan, they did come the next day. So they had a game night called Mathsology. And Haley and Jacob's team name was picked by Jacob. It was Team Harambe.
Yeah.
And Haley was just like, okay, whatever. That'll be our name. But they actually did surprisingly well and won the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. And all it was questions about each other. And they did really well. And then Jacob, he made a good point. He's like, you know, because most of our conversations are just getting to know, like asking questions about the other. I was like, ah, that's valid.
Yeah, they're not like getting busy, so things have stalled in that department. So I think like when they are sitting there and they're trying to like make conversation, even just for a TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised that, you know, one of the other couples didn't step up. more, but I think Claire and Ryan would have given them a run for their money because they're also like not having sex and they're, you know, they're more like on the same page. They're talking a lot. So,
very true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. If they came, that it definitely would have been close because that's a lot of their, you know, sitting down at a table and rather than arguing all the time, like Eric and Virginia or constantly complimenting each other, like Vincent and Brianna. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, so what are your deepest dreams?
You know, we saw him at the wedding telling everyone about his house and telling the same people about his house and the same lines. So I could see him telling Haley the same story three different times.
Yeah. Right. She's like, I got it now. Mm-hmm. I got it at this point. A couple of highlights from the trivia that we found out was that Jacob doesn't wear clothes if they've been dried with a dryer sheet. He thinks they makes the fabric feel funny. Exactly.
What if it was unscented dryer sheet? I don't know. Like I feel like I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I think they feel funny if they haven't had a softener on them. They feel stiff. Right.
Exactly. But I don't know. Because that's the key word, softener. So maybe he doesn't like that they make your clothes softer. And because he's had the experience of no dryer sheet, he likes the ruggedness of his clothes.
He's a rugged man.
Right? We also find out that he has a fear of balloon animals. Which all the guys knew as well.
Yeah, so I think his stories are so out there that everyone remembers them. You know, so like all the guys could answer that. And we missed that. They just kind of flash back to him saying that, like, oh, if she brings up balloon animal walking down the aisle, I'm gone. It's like, I guess Amelia, I could see Amelia having done that in her wedding. So maybe it's not that out there.
Exactly. And then like Haley's were kind of, you know, like she played soccer growing up and she's scared of haunted houses, which I was surprised that Jacob knew because it was like, they weren't in season of Halloween. I'm like, they really are just doing get to know you questions. How does that even come up? Like, how do you feel about haunted houses? until it's like Halloween time. That's
unless
literally
he's really
the only
into
time
him or something,
right? Oh, that could be it. He like has a favorite one that he can't wait. He visits it multiple times during Halloween season. Oh yeah. But yeah, overall that was a fun little game for them. And so I was very happy that they did well. They seemed like they had a good time. So this is when it kind of seemed like they were on a good, like they were on the same page in terms of like, look, let's just have a good time this weekend. Mm-hmm. But then we did have the group dinner.
Oh my gosh. So painful.
Yes. And so it was like a question floating around the table, like what have people learned? And Jacob said he hasn't learned anything holistically. And Haley and Jacob just start to go back and forth about like how he hasn't learned anything or how there have been things to learn. And Jacob said, this has just been one long, bad first date.
He's saying this in front of everyone at the table.
Yes. Yes. Vincent and Brianna are there.
Couple name.
Yeah. Right. Vincent and Brianna are there. Eric and Virginia are there. Everyone's at the table. They're having this conversation that's just awkward to have in front of anyone. And, you know, like even Brianna makes a comment like to us in confessional. She's like, well, it seems like everyone's learned, you know, something except for Jake. You know, that's what he said. He said what he said.
Yeah.
And Haley says, like, it's been 95% challenging. And Jacob said he would say 97. He doesn't want to be fake.
I think he kind of thrives almost like he just doesn't give a shit anymore. And so to have that little bit of audience.
Yep.
It's like it's giving him momentum. Like he's just like, I don't care. Like I'm just gonna make it more awkward and like sort of stick it to Haley. Like just sort of not let her BS anything. And
because
that really positive spin too. Like they can't fake it. Like and I'm sure it's really hard to be there when like all the couples that are there are in a good spot for the most part. You know, at least they see
what appears.
Married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I much prefer Jacob's approach here because, I mean, at this point, like in his head, okay, we've been in this for 7 weeks. I know what I want to do. I know it's not working out. We've tried it. I've tried everything. You're not attracted to me. Point blank, period. Mm-hmm. We can't come back from that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for her to just be like, you know, I've learned this, I've learned that, you know, I'm doing this, you know, we've tried. And she still is in the confessionals telling us, I've done everything I can. Mm-hmm. She truly believes that she has. So there's just like no way out of that. And so I can definitely, I'm sure she presents it that way that she's the one putting in all the effort. And so, how can Jacob put up with that at this point? Mm-hmm. So I feel for both of them. But in this situation, I feel for him mostly because it just seems like the end is so near, but he can't get out of it. It's like us experiencing the show. Like we're so close. I swear they've been saying 1 week until decision day. Yes, they have. They've been saying 1 week until decision day for 3 weeks now. So
yeah,
you know. So they did their date. They decided to go out on a boat and catch crab, which we find out later that they caught the crab to make for dinner for everyone. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the only thing I really got from this date was Haley's attitude just seemed to be a little bit more positive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's maybe it's that like, OK, the end is in sight. So,
yeah, exactly. So close. The girls all got together after their dates. And, you know, Haley's like, apparently I had an attitude last night. I always feel like we have 2 steps forward and 6 steps back. And so it's just when you think things kind of went okay, you know, things got worse again as usual, because that's the nature of their relationship. But really that's all I got from that. It wasn't really like anything profound from their dates or from their date or any, it wasn't, I guess relationship changing
yeah
at all.
Yeah.
They did do an exercise about what they like about each other. So this was a more positive note. So Haley, she went first. She said he's hardworking. He's a great dog dad. He considers her feelings. He's respectful of her. And he's okay getting out of his comfort zone. And Jacob really liked hearing that. And he said he admires her drive, her energy, motivation, her loyalty to her family and friends. And they're like, we both have that. And so Jacob acknowledges that he's made some mistakes throughout the process. And, you know, I would, you know, I thought this would be a great opportunity for her to acknowledge that as well, or acknowledge it to a point of, you know, yes, we've equally contributed to, you know, the negatives of this relationship, but we can also contribute to moving forward and maybe seeing what can happen. But we can't have nice things.
No. And then just to jump ahead, like, why, like, was her list when she talked to her friend of things she liked about him, like, so stripped down from, you know, it was like, didn't resemble this list at all. Exactly. It was just like, oh, he's good to his dogs. That's about it.
Exactly.
He signed up for this process, so I guess that makes him, you know, like,
right. Oh, he does do things, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you can say that about anyone
on that show.
If unmatchables are any indication of people that sign up for this show, you cannot base your liking of somebody based on just because they signed up for Married at First Sight.
Exactly.
So they had, you know, that positive activity. But then the next morning, Jacob gets up and leaves. He left really early. He packed up his bag from the retreat and left. Didn't say a word to Haley. Didn't tell her when he was leaving. Didn't text her anything. And Haley was like walking around the house calling for him. And come to find out that his car was gone and that he had left. So she's like, of course, goes to other couples. Jacob left. Jacob left. Can you believe that? He didn't say anything.
You weren't in the same room. Like, I don't know. Like, I think if he didn't say bye to anyone else, like, you're just sort of equal to everyone. I mean, it is, he knew what he was doing. Like, he could have texted, but, you know, she didn't answer when he was asking when she would get there. Like, they're just not, they don't text each other. They're not involved in each other's lives except to be on the show.
Exactly. Exactly. So then in episode 16, we see, like, Jacob was, like, waiting on the couch for her when she came home, and Jacob did say that he rushed back because his neighbor was watching his dog, and his neighbor got called into work at 4:30 a.m. And so Jacob wanted to get back for his dogs. He checked the camera and they, you know, were waiting by the door to go out. So he's like, okay, I need to get back so they can, I can let them out. And they can use the restroom. They can eat. And what do you think about Haley's response? She's just like, oh no. It just, the whole thing seemed like, the tone was off. The words were
she wanted to catch him in something. So it was like, oh, I guess this is sort of a good reason, but
exactly. Like, she would do the same thing if her dog, if it was her dog.
But it was weird that we didn't get a confessional from Jake when he was leaving early, because they were filming him. Like, they've said, like, I'm leaving. Like, I guess they wanted to leave that suspense, just make it look like he was just pissed off, but.
Yeah, they left it kind of like a cliffhanger for us.
Yeah, but I think she was coming in there ready to be like, have the upper hand. And so when he had like a good reason, it was like, she was so deflated.
Yeah, she was definitely ready to argue. But then I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting that. So here we are. So Jacob did talk to his friend. I literally got nothing from this conversation. they literally could have cut this scene. Like, what even was the point?
Do you think it's like, Jake was just like, let me be real with you. Like, we're getting a divorce. And so they just had no footage or something.
True. Well, yeah, probably is. Like, he's like, there was probably no ounce of footage they could use without giving away what happens on decision day.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's probably exactly what happened. So I was like, wait, what happened with this conversation? I literally, it was nothing earth shattering, nothing of substance.
No.
but Haley did talk to her friend. So she said, so in going into this conversation, her friend was like, yeah, so you've been keeping me updated along the way. So her friend knows everything. And so we kind of start the conversation with this, knowing that her friend knows Haley's side of their whole relationship. Haley did say the one red flag with Jacob is that he's 38 and he's single. And she said she doesn't understand his humor and not much has happened in his life for the past 10 years, which we've heard before. Mm-hmm. She thinks he's a great guy, but and like he can step out of his comfort zone. And, you know, the friend asks what would happen if you wanted to, or if he asked her to give it another chance when the cameras are gone.
But the friend was so shady. She's like, what if he said, yeah, my humor sucks and I dress terribly. Yeah. Would you take, like, okay, so he's to acknowledge that everything he does is wrong.
Mm-hmm. He sure
just
did.
A
yeah.
Pile like, on.
Mm-hmm. And it would be so typical of their relationship for him to do that. Because Jacob could, because he acknowledges the things that she doesn't like, or he'll apologize even when he wasn't even the one totally in the wrong. Mm-hmm. But even that wouldn't be good enough, because it all boils down to the fact that she's not attracted to him. Mm-hmm. Physically or emotionally. I think even if, like, you know, Jacob has his good days, he's dressed up, he has his haircut. I like when Jacob has his beard, mm-hmm. personally. Mm-hmm. But I think even with those things, she still, like, comes down to doesn't understand his humor. She's not trying to. And I know it sounds like we're being really hard on Haley. It's totally not like, okay, bash Haley. Jacob's perfect. But it's just like the amount of effort and the amount of like accountability of her, like the accountability that she has in a relationship of like owning up to the fact that this is it, or this is what it is, and I'm acknowledging that. But she's trying to present something else, which is what makes it frustrating.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. They did have their last date. They got steak. Jake is really impressed with the steak. Haley, she says she feels like from this experience, she's processing how she feels about things a lot better. Jake said he knows his fashion sense wasn't great. And Jake said he's not nervous for decision day. He's just going to go with his gut. And so mm-hmm. Haley's kind of left with that. So I don't know. What did you think about this last date? Did you think there was any like way that anything could change, or at this point it is what it is?
I think it is what it is. I think they're like, it just feels so drawn out for them. Like they just, if they can't be in the same room at this point, you know, except mm-hmm. to film these certain things. I think there's, like, they're civil at times to each other, but that's mm-hmm. about it.
Right. And so their last night together before Jacob heads out is he's wearing this tiger shirt with holes in the back. That was definitely a choice. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, so it's this shirt that had a tiger on the front, and then there are holes in just the upper back, not like random holes throughout the shirt, just the upper back, like big holes and a bunch of like little holes. I was like, is this intentional?
Yeah. This is a shirt he's had since the 80s. And
right. Yeah. So that was it. That was interesting. So I was like, he is reinforcing his fashion sense, knowing how she feels about it.
Right. Yeah.
He said he thinks that they could have potentially developed something if they had more time.
Yeah, I think he was a little more realistic about it. Like, I don't know if it's more time. I think they would have had to just kind of take a different course from the beginning of their relationship, like mm-hmm. not sleep together so early, just kind of right. like have more expert intervention earlier, something would have to yeah. be different.
True. Yeah. the morning after, we kind of get their final thoughts. So Jacob said, like, he wants to work this out because he doesn't want to be 40 and dating. And then we get from Haley that she knows, like, she's at the point now where she knows she can trust him and depend on him. I was like, well, that was a very positive spin. Because at this point, mm-hmm. she does know that, like, even through the hard times, he'll stick with it. But then it's like, okay, is that enough to make you want to pursue a deeper relationship with him?
Right.
And stay in the marriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that did kind of throw me for a loop, but mm-hmm. that could just very well be editing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder when she exactly said that or.
Yeah. So that was it for them for those two episodes. Instead of a rating, we should give our final predictions.
Okay.
And so for Haley and Jacob, my final prediction is divorced.
I think it's no shock, but I agree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the writing's been on the wall since Vegas. I would have said, mm-hmm. like, Vegas is the last time I felt hopeful for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only been downhill from there. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gone down the hill. We've dug a hole in the hill, like at the bottom of the hill. We've gone deeper into that hole. Like, there's just no way out.
Yeah.
So I will say my jaw will be on the ground if they somehow end up still married on decision day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Because I was thinking, like,
so that would require both of them to say yes. Like,
yeah,
it's not even if one of them did, which I don't think they would. But
right. Yeah. So for anyone who's never seen the show, on decision day, both spouses have to say yes in order for them to stay married. If one says no, then they get a divorce. So I guess it's kind of different than like Married at First Sight Australia, where they have the decision throughout the process, which I still need to watch. I hear such great things about Married at First Sight Australia. I haven't been able to.
It's very different. I have not fully caught up, but yeah, it's really different because they're not legally married, and it's almost like a, I don't even know, but yeah, they don't have that same focus on like, we're already married. It's more like an experiment to see if it's just like kind of like a blind date kind of thing almost. And they have so many more couples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably tough to keep track.
Mm-hmm.
So next I was thinking maybe we go to Eric and Virginia.
Okay.
All right, so these two are a hoot, to say the least. So for episode 15, they're gearing up for the retreat. You know, Eric asks, how is the weekend going to go? And Virginia jokes that, like, they're going to kill each other. Eric says, if they're fighting, it's not going to be he's like, if we're fighting, it's not going to be because of me. I just want to allow it on my end. So it's like, you're already pre-blaming her for any arguments y'all are gonna have. You're setting the stage that no, nothing's I'm not fault. Fighting with you.
Yeah.
Yep. And then this is like in the car on the way there, and Virginia's like, all right, you've already gotten mad at me like 5 times today. And he's like, why do you do that? I don't like when you do that. You always get on to me in front of the cameras, and I never do that to you. Like, why do you want to fake it? Yeah,
he knows he looks bad.
Mm-hmm. And the way that triggered him, it was like, oh, this is a conversation they've had multiple times.
Yeah.
Or it's like, Virginia's just like, look, it is what it is. This is, I'm just going to be real. It's kind of like Virginia is the Jacob in their relationship, where he's just like, let's not fake the funk. Let's just be real. Mm-hmm. But Eric wants to present this wonderful relationship that had this amazing chemistry at the beginning.
Right. He's clinging to that.
Yes. Will not let it go. They do arrive second to the retreat. And so we didn't, I'd say from, so from massology, so when they did the game, the only thing that we kind of learned about them was Virginia is double jointed and Eric has swam with sharks. Eric also hates when his name is spelled incorrectly since it's E-R-I-K.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, you know, that's a... For me, like, I know my name is always spelled incorrectly and it's said incorrectly. That's why I reinforce it as much as I can. Like, mm-hmm. It's like everywhere, like social media. And then like even at work, like if I join a call and I know it's like the first time I'm meeting the people on the other side, I'm like, hi, Asia's here. Mm-hmm. So I know it, like it comes like I know I'm aware that people are going to pronounce it incorrectly or mm-hmm. spell it incorrectly. It's like Eric. Give people some grace. Yeah. There are so many people named Eric and it's not spelled that way.
Right. This is a more rare spelling.
Yeah.
So
it's like, yeah, it's okay.
You know, you can go to Starbucks, you can say Eric with a K or something, you know, if you really right. want.
Yeah. And then people probably do E-R-I-C-K.
Yeah. That one before.
So let's see. They had a group dinner and Virginia was saying like, you know, she's learning about loving even when like you don't like the person. And Eric's like, yeah, I've had to be so patient with this one. Like we grew up with different childhoods and it's like, okay,
well, your life is perfect.
Yeah. Keep reminding us of this. Cause this was the same group dinner that, you know, Haley and Jacob were being awkward at. And Eric tells us like he wants to be her number one. He knows he's not yet. It's hard for him to accept that. And well, no, he actually didn't tell us that. He told everyone at the dinner that. And Virginia was like, it's because like we've only known each other a month and a half. Mm-hmm. So she's like, duh, you're not going to be my number one. So this is just one of their many times of just not seeing eye to eye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like for him to always want things not on camera, like that doesn't give us a good show. Like I think that's not the point. And we see this come up so often that I'm glad that Virginia is bringing these things up in front of people, even if it does make it a little more awkward mm-hmm. because he needs other people to weigh in on. I don't know. It's like he thinks he's always in the right. And his way
or the
highway.
It's like his version of compromise is moving over to his way.
Yeah.
It's no, like, oh, let's find a middle ground. It's mm-hmm. no, like, I'm right. And our compromise is going to be you finally seeing that I'm right.
Yeah. And what I really don't like what he does is when he'll be like, like talking about the apartment thing or whatever. And then he'll be like, well, everyone I talk to thinks it's, you know, thinks it's weird, or everyone I talk to doesn't get it or doesn't think it's good mm-hmm. either. You know, same with like the hanging out with guy friends, like everyone mm-hmm. I talk to. So he's like going behind her back, like bringing up the issues and just getting more validation for his views from, I'm sure, his parents and his friends and the sister-in-law mm-hmm. that's going to go talk to Virginia. And then, so it's just kind of like makes it seem like he's not working through it with her. It's like he's got this army against her of like, well,
exactly.
This is how every marriage is. And these are certain things that are expected in a marriage. And
yep. Yep. Which is just wild. And it can't be a good spot for Virginia to constantly hear that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just more of the same that we've been seeing with these two. They did do their date. So they took a golf cart to a picnic and Eric said, it's a great day with a great girl. And kind of. Virginia, she said, like, with decision day being a week away, she was going to call it D-Day, but she said he doesn't like when she calls it D-Day because he thinks it, because he's like, he associates D-Day with being such a bad day in America. So it's like, oh, but he didn't correct his friend when his friend called it D-Day.
So is it just another way to try to control and censor Virginia? And
absolutely.
It's decision day. It's an abbreviation. Like, people use that for other things.
Right. It's like, it's just so, it's petty at that point. Like, why are you picking on every little thing? Y'all have bigger issues than her just calling this D-Day. I mean, y'all aren't going to make it past D-Day because you harp on things such as her saying D-Day.
Just really controlling of her. Like,
yeah.
Like, you better not say, you better not, like, put anything negative on this. You better, like, be saying yes.
Yeah. And so Virginia, she asks him, is decision day an important day for you, or is it just another day for you? She wants to know, like, what he's going to say on decision day. And he said he thinks that, he's like, I think you know what I'm going to say. And she said that she's fighting harder for this relationship than any other relationship she's had before. And Eric kind of twists this to say, like, well, I don't want you to doing things just because we're married. Like, he thinks her saying, oh, I'm fighting for this harder than other relationships, like, I'm staying, I'm not running away because we're married. He's like, well, I don't want you to do it just because we're married. Like, he truly wants her. I think it's like he truly wants her to emphasize the qualities about him as reasons why she's staying rather than, oh, we're married. He said he's still figuring her out right now, and he still thinks, like, if they have an issue, she's going to up and leave. Mm-hmm. And that was their date.
Yeah, it didn't go so well.
Yeah, it's just like they're a broken record at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, keep bringing up these things. If you keep bringing it up, that's not acknowledging and, like, working to fix it. They think if they talk about it, all they're doing is expressing their concerns. They're not working towards resolutions. Or, okay, Eric, you feel that way. You think every time you have an issue, she's going to run away. Talk about it with her. Tell her that's your concern. Tell her that's your fear. And not in just a, oh, well, you don't like it, then you can leave. That's right. Not it.
Yeah.
It's just his approach is terrible anytime he's trying to express this concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell them. Let's see. So they, with the crab dinner that Haley and Jacob caught the crab, they did all cook dinner. They were all having a great time together. And so then they sat down to talk or to eat their dinner, to eat the crab. And this is kind of when Eric and Virginia have another uncomfortable back and forth in front of the entire group. So Virginia said, like, she's not moving to his condo immediately. Since he'll be gone for work anyways. And Eric, of course, doesn't like they're going to be living separately. And Virginia said, well, he has 4 months until her lease is up to figure it out. And then Eric has the nerve to say, I am not the type to give ultimatums. What? Yeah. You're the king of ultimatums.
Yeah. And then they show some of them, right?
Yes. They're like, okay, just in case y'all weren't sure.
I love when Maths has the receipts.
Yes. So, I'm like, okay, I'm glad I'm not crazy, because I'm like, this man has been shooting out ultimatums the entire relationship. So, you know, Virginia said his condo isn't pet friendly, and Eric said he'll do anything at this point, you know, for her if she moves into the condo, and says that Virginia can never meet in the middle. And she said, Virginia said, like, you know, I pictured myself, like, when I moved to my current apartment, I pictured myself there for 5 years. And Eric goes, oh, is that what you want?
I get what Why? She means. It's like, you just, it's still an adjustment. Like, mm-hmm. change is hard. And it's yeah. like, oh, okay. You know, even going through the Married at First Sight, she was maybe thinking like, oh, maybe like I'll get matched with someone that wants to live here with me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can get like not wanting to let go, like a place that you really like. And if she's exactly. not getting a good vibe from his place.
Right. It didn't even come across the camera well. Like I was thinking, oh, it's kind of like dark. I mean, it's dark. It does feel like True. A bachelor pad.
Yeah.
So I can very well see her concerns, but it's like, if they just keep touching on this conversation without sitting down and having a plan, because that was the problem. It seemed like he was upset because he's like, you expect me to be doing all of this work to find us a place. It's not going to happen overnight, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, you have 4 months to figure it out. Rather than her approach could have been, hey, I found these places. Let's look at them together. See if this is a possibility. Like maybe we can rent here while you lease your condo. Like, I also think she's not doing enough in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree.
Very well could be a joint effort.
Yeah.
But they don't work like that. So
no.
We do see 2 hours later. They're talking about her cats, and Virginia's explaining that her cats sleep like how they sleep. Like one sleeps on her, one sleeps on her side. And Eric's like, well, you're just gonna let me suffer all night, every mm-hmm. night. And she's like, well, I'm not gonna lock them out. Like you can take allergy medicine. And she's like, they sleep like in my crevices. And Eric's like, well, no, they don't have to sleep on the bed. And she's like, you can't train a cat to sleep in a room and not sleep on the bed. How out of left field was this conversation? When, first of all, we have not seen her cats.
Yeah. So how's she getting along with it? Where are exactly. they right now?
Exactly.
Was she just trying to like poke at him?
Right. And like, was it just like, you know, you had a little alcohol. This is the new fight of the evening. Like, why is this an argument at this point?
Yeah. It should have come up earlier, like when they were talking about the cats to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think we need to get Eric on an on-camera allergy test to really see if this is just his excuse for not liking cats.
Yes.
That might help us figure like out if this, who to agree with.
If this were before they had shot the reunion, I would be saying, Kevin Frazier, get an allergy test for Eric so we
instead
can
of
see.
Like the lie detectors. It's
yeah. Because that's part of the reason is like Virginia's not taking his allergies seriously. Mm-hmm. And so she's just thinking like, well, they sleep with. So you're about to have the cat. You're about to have these two cats sleeping with you. Rocky sleeping with you. Expect Tex to sleep on the bed or on the floor. That's what Eric wants. Tex mm-hmm. to sleep in his own bed. I'm like, what is going on? There's so many animals a part of this equation.
Yeah, they have a lot to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. So their last morning there at the retreat, Eric said he doesn't feel like they're on a team, which I understand. I understand that viewpoint from him that mm-hmm. they definitely aren't working together. But it's totally not all Virginia's fault, like he's thinking. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So that was it for episode 15 for the retreat. And so in episode 16, they're kind of debriefing from the retreat. Virginia said it was fun and she feels like they're making up from their arguments quicker and quicker. I guess that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
She said sometimes she feels like she knows him. Sometimes she doesn't. And Eric still feels like she's holding back. Mm. What does he want from her at this point?
Well, I think he wants her to say, like, you're my number one. Like, none of these guy friends matter. And he wants her to alert him anytime she gets a text from one of her guy friends.
Yeah.
He basically needs a report of everything that's happening. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I forgot about that. But yes, that was a very unrealistic expectation. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that he wants to hear anytime she, when she gets a text, he wants her to report that to him, basically. So Eric did talk to his friend on FaceTime. He says he can see why they matched him. He can see them together for the long haul. And his friend asked, like, what's her biggest issue with you right now? And he's like, I think it's the way I say things. Like, OK, that's an understatement of the century.
Yeah.
Because not just, I mean, yes, definitely a lot of things are how he says it. But then a lot of it is where it's rooted from. And like in that, like, he is trying to control her in a sense. He is constantly gaslighting. He thinks it's his way or the highway. So yeah, that was pretty much all I got from that conversation with Eric and his friend. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's, again, kind of like how Haley can't really acknowledge anything about, like, her place or her part in something. I think that's where Eric is too. It's like, it's, he's the one that has the expertise, that he's been married before, and he's always on the right side of things, and he had the great example growing up, and it's not that he gives ultimatums, it's just that, like, he phrases it a certain way, you know. It's like, it's just that's what it is. It's semantics. Yeah. It's not like the actual content in his mind.
Yes exactly. So we also got Virginia and her friend talking and catching up, and Virginia's getting used to the personal space. She acknowledges that they're both emotional people, and so that's why their arguments get so heated. But of course, she agrees, or she says that their biggest thing right now is communication. She ends up calling her other friend, because this friend was a guy friend she hadn't seen in a while. They call her other friend, who's a woman, and so they could all debrief together. And Virginia does say she wants Eric to be able to come out with her and have fun, or be okay with her going out. And she has to come to terms with living in the condo. And she just says, like, with everything, her anxiety has just been at an all time high. So, I mean, those are all things we knew. There wasn't really any big revelation from that. But it also doesn't seem like it's the end for her. Like, it doesn't seem like we can't, or that she, I don't know. I couldn't get a read on if she would get divorced based on it, what she was saying.
Yeah, I didn't get that sense, but it just does seem like they're in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense for their stage of life, true. Too.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, because I mean, I remember thinking, like, okay, they're 8 years apart. That's not that bad, but that really is a big difference. Mm-hmm. It's just because in comparison, you had Haley and Jacob being 10 years apart. So we did get their last date. Eric loves every day and every minute spending time with her. He was just
laying it on thick.
Yes, laying it on so thick. He starts crying. He was really expressing himself. I don't know. I think he was definitely thinking more than he was saying. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess not wanting this to be over. But it did not spark a single tear from Virginia.
Yeah. No.
So interesting. She definitely wasn't. They continued to not be on the same page, because she definitely wasn't where he was emotionally at that moment.
Yeah.
Virginia is still worried about their views on marriage, like that they have different views on what a marriage should be. Eric just says he doesn't want to be disrespected. He said he knows that she has a lot of guy friends, and anytime he gets a text, he tells her about it. And so he would want the same. He's like, but it's your life. Do what you want to do. But if you want to show me some respect, then you'll, you know, do a couple of things.
What? Yeah, that's the same thing as the ultimatums. It's like his saying, like, do what you want to do. Like, just like you said about the apartment, like, yeah, you live there. Like, go do what you want to do. It's your life. But it's still the ultimatum. It's like, I'm not going to be around if you're not going to meet my demands, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. It was just terrible. I couldn't believe he said that. Virginia said they do review respect differently. Mm-hmm. And Eric was like, okay, well, if I disrespect you, then tell me. He's like, I've never loved someone so quickly in my life, and I wouldn't have wanted anyone else in this process other than you. And she's like, you don't know that. He said, I do know that. We find out that Eric believes in soulmates, and Virginia, she says she thought, like, or at one point he thought his ex was his soulmate, like his ex-wife. Virginia was saying, like, she thinks like you could have more than one soulmate in your lifetime, and she believes in fate. Mm-hmm. So I think this is just further evidence that they continue to be on such different pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like what we've been saying is like, it doesn't really bode well for the long term for them. Like, I think they mm-hmm. have figured out kind of how to make it work right now. Like, okay, we fight, then we know how to make mm-hmm. that. So we just like shorten the distance between like fighting and make up time, and you know, like mm-hmm. I think they have like a little bit more of that in them. Like, they think they could go another year or so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And things are just gonna, I could see things getting very toxic if they do last that long, and then it reaching a point where it's like, with the cameras being gone, things could get worse in terms of just like hostility between the two of them. So yeah, I don't know. So we did get their last night together after the date. So Virginia does still have doubts about their marriage. Eric sees very good things ahead for the both of them if they both want this. And he wants her to stay at his condo once her lease is up, and then he can put it up for rent, so then they can get a place of their own. So it does really seem like the ball is in Virginia's court. The morning after, we do see that Eric says like he'll get those things written down of what he expects. And Virginia doesn't like the word expect.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. When he's leaving, when the next time they see each other is when they're deciding to stay married or get a divorce.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. So what are your predictions for decision day?
I think they'll stay together. I think they'll say yes. I think we'll get Eric's answer first, and then he'll probably be staring down Virginia, like, like clutching onto her hand, like, you know, death grip or something, you know? So I think,
yeah,
like, because a lot of the undertones of what he's saying too, it's like, you better not embarrass me, you know, like that's kind of like what the respect thing I think means to him, like,
mm-hmm.
on, you know, like, this better go the way I think it's gonna go.
Right. He's gonna be like squeezing her hand. I agree with Eric saying yes, but I honestly believe that Virginia will say no. And the only reason I think that is because anytime she is allowed that time to be by herself and really think through things, she realizes like there are so many things that we're different on. There's so many just fundamental differences that I don't know if I can see past. We've had this fight about this going out. We fight about Rocky. We fight about, you know, just our expectations. We fight about respect. Like, what don't they argue about? I really don't know at this point. So it's like, I think that the fact that she's going to get like a night and a day alone to kind of sit in her thoughts, I think that she may even just start to overthink it and think like, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can stick with this. Because it's so easy when she's in his face, because he continues to try to like reassure her that like we're good together, like we're great. When things are great, they're great. And so I think without having him there to kind of feed off of, with like how great their relationship is, she might come to reality, realize this may not work out and maybe this is not what's best for me. But I think she'll be nervous to say no, but I think she could still say no.
I would love to see that. It would be like much better TV.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Can you imagine just like how he would be at the reunion? Oh my God. That would be, yeah. Oh my gosh. I think it would be the healthiest decision for her.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I'd rather see her with her friend. Yeah. They look cute together.
I know. Exactly. I always think that, like, someone else had a friend a few seasons ago that I was like, why aren't they just with that friend?
Oh, was it, what's her name? The girl that was with that like terrible basketball player guy. And she had a friend that
Amber, yes.
She had a friend that applied for Married at First Sight too, and we're just like, okay, why don't you just like, he's always looking out for you, and like, right. He wants to be married, you want to be married.
Exactly. Oh man, that it's so funny too, because I think she was dating a guy recently.
Okay.
And so I think that like she has a type, like super tall athlete, basically.
Okay.
So it may be a situation where like her friend wasn't her type.
Right. But that's what you're supposed to get on the show to find out. Like, you're supposed to work around that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yes, okay. Final predictions. Yours is that they'll stay married, and mine is that they'll get divorced. So we shall see.
Yeah.
So next, who would you prefer to go with? They're both quick hits. So would you prefer Vincent and Brianna or Clara and Ryan?
Let's do Vincent and Brianna.
All right.
Because they were all at the first night of the retreat. So
yes. Right. Okay. So Vincent and Brianna. They're like getting ready for the retreat. Brianna says she uses the restroom a lot on the road, and Vincent joked, he's like, you better get a bottle. And Vincent was like, you know, being with the other couples, he's like, I really hope they're rights this time. I was like, that's a very optimistic view.
Yeah.
From the resident therapist. Mm-hmm. Since the therapists are, or the resident experts, since the experts are busy with unmatchables. So that's what I noticed from these two episodes of Unmatchables. I was like, they're in Atlanta. I was like, they probably filmed these at the exact same time.
They've been there the whole time. They could have been there.
Right.
Exactly. I think there was that one season too when they were filming Honeymoon Island. And so it was Pastor Cal and Dr. Jessica. And I think the experts were really in and out that season too. So yeah, it's a little interesting because they were definitely involved in the show. Like, throughout filming with these unmatchable people.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, they were very involved, very hands-on. So Vincent and Brianna arrived treat third, and Brianna said, like, you know, this is gonna be a breath of fresh air before decision day. And so it's so funny to see such the opposite perspective on this weekend. Whereas like Haley and Jacob were dreading it.
Yeah.
And they're very happy. We also find out that Vincent has gained 18 pounds since.
Hey, welcome to quarantine.
Right? Like, would it happen whether you were married or not? We are we're inside right now. So I thought that was interesting. So that makes sense about a lot of like his insecurities that he's expressed with like his shirts being too tight.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But he's a guy, and unfortunately guys lose weight so fast, so I'm sure like once him and Brianna get to it and get back on their like normal routine outside of like this honeymoon phase, he'll be back to champagne Vinny.
Yeah.
So we find out that Brianna is the one that planned their date. And so she was excited about horseback riding, and Vincent was not excited because he doesn't trust horses or any other large animals for that matter. And Brianna is like, she knows he doesn't like feeling uncomfortable at this point. So she's just hoping like they have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to see if we learned anything new about them in the trivia. And no, we didn't, because they didn't really get that many right. Huh. Okay. So we go to the date, which is horseback riding. Have you ever been horseback riding?
I have, like, kind of at, I don't know. It wasn't anything that seemed like really risky. Like, it was like a trail led mm-hmm. thing, like really slow. Mm-hmm. And I was actually pretty young. So I get being scared. But again, like, I thought it was like, I don't know. I was kind of annoyed at Vincent. Like, I don't know. It was just like, it's not like the most dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. And maybe Brianna knew that he was terrified, and then that's not great that she's like forcing it on him or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's like an irrational fear or something, but maybe it's just because it's been like with multiple things that he has an issue with.
And right.
You just kind of like, okay, just like make your wife happy. Try it out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, the last time I rode a horse was I think like middle school. So yeah. I was kind of putting myself in those shoes of like, well, I was like a preteen hopping on a horse. I was just like, well, I trust the instructors aren't going to make sure that we don't get hurt. So
right. And they're not going to give us the crazy horse.
Right. Exactly. So I think it more of was I've never done this before and I don't want to look scared in front of my wife. And so it just always comes off as like off-putting anytime he has these moments. But it's like the reason is always kind of sweet because he's like doesn't want to look bad in front of her. But mm-hmm. then he doesn't handle it the best because he's just like not he's just showing that he's not open to trying something new.
Yeah. Just and I could right see like why it would give Brianna some pause where it's like, okay, is this going to always be an issue? And I think it will. Like, they're very different in terms of what they're comfortable with. And especially when, like, the instructor was like, okay, everything's going to be fine. And you could tell, like, it did seem like a very, like, controlled, calm situation. And
mm-hmm.
I think that would be hard for Brianna if she wants. What was the, there was another couple where they had this issue where it was like one person was doing, like, the risky things or, you know, and then the partner wasn't going with them. This was a few seasons ago, I think.
It wasn't last season with Brett and Olivia. Like Olivia was the one that wanted to like spend money, go on trips, and Brett was like, "No, I want a budget, save, invest."
I want to say it was like maybe Jasmine and Will or something, where it was like
just
Jasmine was going by herself or something, and she was like, "Oh, it's not masculine," or like you know, she had an issue with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah, season 8 is kind of like a little forgotten season. I mean, mm-hmm. I really liked Keith and Christine on that season.
Yeah.
But then Luke and Kate were so much
so terrible
that it just like overshadowed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because AJ and Stephanie are still together.
Yeah, they actually have two successful couples. So
yeah, 50% on that mm-hmm. season. So they do ride the horses. Vincent wasn't comfortable. He wants to do what he can to make her happy though. But he does insist at first, like, I'm not getting on the horse, but then trainer convinces him that they take kids, they take grandmas. So he gets on.
Yeah.
And I did watch with captions this time. Cause I remember what you said about the songs, and this one was like, she fell from heaven.
Oh my gosh.
They made it such a, like, it was so, such a pretty scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like they zoomed out, they showed the horses, they showed them riding. They had this song playing. It was like sunset. And so it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
They were showing, this is our couple. This is the couple mm-hmm. we're banking on.
These are the ones that are going to be on couples cam.
Right, exactly. So then afterwards, they sit on the beach. And Vincent says, like, he doesn't know if he would do that again. He said he likes to have input on the things that they're doing because she surprised him with this.
Mm.
And he asked her if she was, he was like, would you swim with sharks? And she's like, I would. And he's like, I wouldn't. I was like, why'd you ask that?
I think Brianna, like Vincent needs to make a list for Brianna. Just like, yes. Virginia needs that list from Eric.
Yes.
Like, I will not do these things.
Exactly. Because it's going to make it so hard to surprise him with activities if you just don't know what he would try. Because he was like, don't ever surprise me with skydiving or bungee jumping because I'm not doing
that's
it.
That's fair. I think that's, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, even I would be like shook if I was just like, I thought I was going to like, you know, I was going to eat at like Chipotle, but then I showed up, you know, to skydive.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does seem like he just needs preparation. He needs time to think about it, time to get comfortable with the idea before it happens. Mm-hmm. So I think if that's the case, then they can still skydive and bungee jump. Mm-hmm. It's just don't surprise him.
Right.
They do have their last morning. Brianna woke up early to talk, of course. And they said they both enjoyed themselves at the retreat. You know, Vincent says, like, now they need to get back into the gym and we gotta move you in. And Brianna says she doesn't want to feel run over because she feels like she's on the same level as him, but she doesn't want him assuming that she's moving in with him. But I also thought this is kind of one of those editing things to try to make it seem like a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm sure they've talked plenty about what it's looking like. They've done budgeting. Like they've talked about what things will look like after the fact. So maybe just the timing was off on like that soundbite. So that was it for episode 15. So for episode 16, we see that like they talked about the other couples. They think that Haley and they hope it goes well. Decision day goes well for the other couples. And they think that Haley or Jacob might throw a curveball. Did they mean by staying married or getting a divorce?
Yeah, I think getting married.
Okay.
It's like they were at that dinner, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And so Brianna says like, you know, she basically says that, you know, Vincent was unorganized when she first met him, but since she believes that she's organized for the both of them. And Vincent didn't like her calling him out like that. And he said, well, at the wedding, well, before this, I didn't want somebody that was assertive and direct. And when they kept calling you bossy at the wedding, that turned me off. And so I was like, that wording was terrible. Mm-hmm. Because that really shook Brianna. She didn't like that he said that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the phrase turn off. It's like, I think he could have said like that threw me or that worried me. That was like, maybe like that like was a little red flag for me at first, but you know, now I see what it means, or you know, then I saw that it was more like kind of joking way, and you know, like but yeah, he kind of dug his heels in and like didn't really explain himself.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of weird. That was definitely a weird interaction. So Brianna talked. So her friend that she consulted this episode was her mom, and so she's already been telling her mom everything. But Brianna is kind of nervous for decision day because she thinks they're really good together, but she does understand that Vincent is like easily embarrassed, and she's worried that that could turn into something bigger. And she also doesn't like that like her being bossy is a turnoff for him because that's one of her characteristics of herself. So she thought that was like a jab at, you know, quality of hers, which is understandable.
Yeah, because it what I didn't like about it too is that it made it seem like, you know, it kind of changes the tone of like maybe the memory now for Brianna, because it's like their vows, and then he's saying like, now she's like, oh, that was a turn off to him right then. So that's too bad, because you can't really take that back, like that's going to be in her mind now thinking about it. And then he just didn't really clarify that, like he just kind of more said, you know, people that I dated in the past that were bossy, it didn't work out, and that he specifically told the experts that he didn't want somebody assertive or something, which is odd. Like, I feel like usually people say they do, you know? So, mm-hmm. and then that kind of tells us that that's the first clue that, like, they aren't, like, they are looking for, like, little conflicts, I think. They're not matching, like, someone exactly. Not that you can get exact, but I think the experts are, like, they're overlooking certain things.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think they also are, you know, saying, like, well, I think he needs, they're probably saying, like, he probably needs someone assertive, even if he says he doesn't, because he's not as assertive. So, mm-hmm. I think, like, that is worrisome too, if she's just like, okay, he's always going to be like more attractive to somebody that's like a different demeanor.
Exactly.
So that's a great yeah. thing to say, like, the day before decision day.
Right, exactly. Not at all. I just feel like they've had so many good days, and then this is like, this. These are not any of the conversations you guys should be having mm-hmm. the day before. So the friend that Vincent consulted was his cousin. And so he said that they had a good time and her family. They like her, him and Brianna have a good time together. Her family is a fun time. He thinks that his comment about the turnoff might have upset her.
Maybe.
Of course. Right. And so, you know, they're talking about like her being direct, and the cousin was like, well, don't you want someone who is direct with you? Like, oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And then he just, like, the cousin ended it with, like, when the cameras go away, what will it be like? Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be great. I don't have any concern.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. They do have their last date. So Brianna said she's noticed that they've kind of like stopped shielding each other's feelings and have been being honest with how they feel about things. Vincent said, like, one of his biggest downfalls is when he gets overwhelmed, he shuts down and gets an attitude. And of course, Brianna has noticed that. She said that, well, Vincent said he felt judged when she called him unorganized, and Vincent doesn't like asking for help. And then Brianna's like, you can come to me for anything. And she brings up how the bossy comment made her feel. And Vincent was like, I understand that she's working on this. And I'm like, no, that y'all still kind of don't have an understanding about that, because he thinks it's a problem that she's fixing, where she understands, she sees it as that's just a quality of herself. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of odd.
Yeah, she's not going to change.
Yeah. So I feel like they didn't really get a good understanding of that comment. Mm-hmm. And she was still kind of not being totally transparent with entirely how it made her feel, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it's still so minuscule. It's not divorce worthy. So.
Right.
So their last night. Oh my gosh. Their last night, Vincent's helping her take off her thigh high boots. Vincent's like, I got a surprise for you. Close your eyes. And then he brings out scissors. He holds up one of her braids. He brings out scissors. And then he's like, all right, open your eyes. And then he hurries and like cuts part of her braid. He's like, I want to help you take your hair down. I know you said you want to take your hair down, so I'm helping you. She's like, I didn't mean tonight. I wasn't ready to take my hair down right now. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. So now she has one braid that's just like cut, which is like, what? Why would
anyone do that?
Like, exactly. I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, y'all are getting ready for bed. Like, read the room.
Yeah.
Taking your braids down. Like, I have braids currently.
It's not cutting them. It down.
Yeah, you do.
You do? Well, but like,
yeah. So it depends. It depends on what you're working with. So I can see how, like, the length of her braids, what she does is cut them to get them, because, like, her hair doesn't go that entire length. So okay. She cuts it, and then you unbraid from there, right?
Okay.
So you cut it to a point where you know, like, okay, for sure, my hair is not that long. So then you cut, and then you unbraid. But it's like, okay, now that he's cut that, she's going to have to either undo that whole braid and then redo that braid, which her hair looks really good when she's not wearing braids. So I could see her being capable of doing that. But still, that's extra work that she doesn't have to do. And then the process of taking down braids is like a few hours. Like, it's not like, oh, let me take down my braids real quick. 10 minutes later, I'm done. No, it takes like with the amount that she has is like good 2 to 3 hours if you have help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like to just be like, I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
I think you wanted to go to bed, but
right.
Now you're committed. Yeah. I
just thought not was, reading the room at all.
No.
So I was just like, but I think it well. Like, I think she could have easily been annoyed. And I think if they had a worse like relationship, like if this was like Virginia and Eric, like she would have like gone off. But I think the fact that she loves him and they have that good relationship and she knows him, she knows that he was coming from a good place of trying to help and he just did not understand. Mm-hmm. I think that helped her not be upset.
Mm-hmm.
But just wild. I could not believe he did that.
No.
Oh my gosh. And then I was just thinking, like, I was like, I know that probably looked so just, I know it looked wild to people that don't understand that, like, that's the starting point for taking down braids like yeah. that. Just like he's cutting her hair. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just think, like, do not cut anyone's hair.
Right. Yeah. Even if I get help to take, like, whenever I have braids and I get, for people to take down my braids, I'm like, let me do the cutting part first. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm like, I don't know if you're going to cut too high or what. I was like, I trust myself. I'll do that. And then you just help me unbraid. Oh, but yeah, funny. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll get it fixed before decision day or she'll just wear it up or I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she was probably talking about it in a sense that she wanted to take it down for decision day, but I can't remember from the previews if how she had her hair.
Yeah,
so wild. So yes, for those of you out there, it is the first step, but he should not have done it at that time. So final prediction.
Yeah, they'll definitely stay together. Like, this is just kind of like absolutely trying to make us think one way, but it's too mm-hmm. late for that. We know they're solid.
Right. Like, what are we going to do? Walk into decision day thinking, oh my gosh, all the couples are going to get divorced. Like, I think that did happen one season.
Mm-hmm. Early seasons, I think, like.
Yeah.
Two or three, or maybe both of those ones.
Well, even the last Atlanta season, season 3, two of them got divorced. So Samantha and Neil and David and Ashley, they got divorced. But Vanessa and Trey stay married, but then they were divorced by their reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I don't think there's been a season where every couple has gotten divorced. There are definitely seasons where they are all divorced now, right. But on decision day, yeah, there hasn't been. Wow, fun fact. And so there's always at least one couple that is optimistic and stays married.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, their record is not great at this point. So our last couple, we have Claire and Ryan. So let's see. So they showed up last. They missed the first night, I guess, because Ryan had something for work. I think it's so funny how Claire is a flight attendant and that is never a part of like conversation for their relationship. Like
right.
Ryan is never complaining that she's gone.
Yeah, you would think that would be a storyline.
Yeah, unless she's just been off. But I would imagine like if she's not working, that would be a storyline, too, because he is working.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weird. And so we find out now that it was a four and a half hour drive to Hilton Head from Atlanta. So I was like, that's a long drive, especially for Haley and Jacob to do that alone. Claire was hoping that like the weekend is going to be calm and relaxing. And then Ryan says it's going to be like family vacation 2.0, which they're considering like Vegas 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
And where we get flashbacks of Chris's antics. they find out that Eric slept in the bed that they're choosing the night before. So Eric and Virginia did not sleep in the same bed the first night. And Virginia just tells Claire, like, they had an argument and they're just both stubborn. So not much there for their arrival. They did do a group breakfast, which I thought was really funny that, so this breakfast, the guys were at the table, the girls were in the kitchen cooking, but they were having such like candid conversation. Like Clara said, like people always ask her if she's losing herself. Because it appears that she's losing herself every day. But it was like, Ryan is definitely an earshot away. Like, they weren't in different rooms. It was like kitchen and dining area all right there, same space.
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's probably like, should be a red flag to her if people are like, yeah, so does it seem like maybe you're losing yourself a little bit?
Yeah. Like, whoa, which we did kind of touch on a few podcasts ago or a few episodes ago. I remember talking about how Clara was kind of like dimming her light for Ryan. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't kind of like that spunky, outgoing same person that we saw pre-marriage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hey, her loved ones are kind of seeing that, too.
Yeah.
So for their date, they did paddle boarding. And so like the water was a bit rocky. Ryan said he had never done it in the ocean before. There was a moment they came together and kissed. So that was sweet. But otherwise there wasn't conversation. They were pretty focused on not falling off their stand up paddle boarding, which is actually pretty fun. I've never done it in an ocean. I've only done it on like a man-made lake. Mm-hmm. So definitely not as choppy. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a fun activity.
Okay. Yeah, I've never done it. And I feel like I would just fall.
Yeah, it's definitely like a balance thing. And it's like you get left or right. If you lean one way or the other a little too much, you definitely would fall. But then like once you get the balance down, but I was surprised they were going from like their knees to standing because that's really difficult without falling over. Mm-hmm. So they did a good job. Mm-hmm. And so they did have a little picnic set up, and we do not find out from Clara, which we already knew, that going into decision day, she wants to hear "I am in love with you." And Clara tells Ryan, like, you know, there's a point I didn't think we would move past like friendship, and Ryan doesn't say anything in response. Like, oh gosh.
That's so typical. I don't get it. Like, does he just not respond or did he cut off what he says? It's always just him kind of looking at her like she was from another planet.
Yeah. Like, sure. it's crickets or sure.
Yeah.
So, that's what we get. They did have an exercise from Dr. Pepper where they write a love letter to each other. Ryan says like he's never lost in rock, paper, scissors, and then he immediately loses to her. So I was like, okay, was he lying or like, was that a joke? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm still getting to know his sense of humor. In Ryan's letter, he does thank her he thanks her for letting him share his dreams and fears. And he thanks her for letting him be him and loving him for it. And then he says, love Ryan. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very bold for someone who is like runs from the L word.
Right. Like he acknowledging that she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see that she said that.
Right. So. Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, so he's aware or at least knows that she feels that way and hasn't said it, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. With her letter, she's crying while she reads it. She said each moment of heartbreak has prepared her for him. He's everything she's wanted in a husband. He responds, I'm glad you feel that way. So yeah, there's that. And so with the last morning at the retreat, Ryan is still not ready to say, I love you. And Clara says like the heartache that she experienced leading up to this point has led her to Ryan. So Clara is sounding more optimistic than when she was talking about the fact that they haven't had sex or that he hasn't said he loves her. It feels like she's, her feelings are still growing stronger despite that.
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So in episode 16, Clara said she's exhausted, like from the weekend. Ryan said, yeah, it was a long weekend. You know, they kind of talk about their marriage up to this point, you know, in a Ryan and Clara way, very surface level. Ryan says, like since the wedding day, he's picked up a new set of responsibilities, and like, because they're talking about like what has changed since they got married. And Clara says she has to be more intentional with her time now that she's married. And Ryan's like, yeah, you're turning into an old soul like me. But she didn't, she, like, her reaction was like, she didn't love that. But.
Right. It is funny though that like she is, maybe that's why they're saying like, hey, did you lose some of yourself? Because she's like catering to what his mm-hmm. lifestyle, and that seems like, you know, it's like he's not like Eric in demanding things, but maybe he's like more subtly, like maybe by withholding sex or something, like maybe just somehow mm-hmm. like this is playing into her, like, okay, maybe if I do this, then like, you know, he'll like I don't know, just maybe it's doing something to her in terms of like changing for him.
Yeah, and
maybe that's not yeah. a great thing.
Exactly.
But maybe she likes it. Maybe she's like, oh, I see the light. But it does seem like he is very, like, very firm in, like, how he views things. And
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ryan's friend that he talks to on decision, or not on decision day, but leading up to decision day, they play, his name is AJ. They play shuffleboard together. Ryan says, like, within 12 hours, he knew why they were matched. He's not a fan of always talking about his feelings, and he wants to focus on like hitting goals together, but then realizes, like with AJ asking questions, he realizes they may not be on the same page, and it flashback to him asking Claire like what her drive is internally, and she's like, I don't know. Where it's like Ryan is very clearly goal oriented, and so mm-hmm. I wonder, is that like a real concern for him? The yeah. fact that she's not thinking that way.
It seems like it. Like, I just loved when they were doing that quiz, or, you know, like the Enneagram. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me really want to be friends with Claire, because I just loved how she's like, yeah. meh, no, goals, meh. Like, mm-hmm. just, do I aim for perfection? Nah. Like,
right.
She doesn't like seem to even like be aware that like it's really bothering Ryan. Like, she's just 100% herself.
Yes, exactly.
So but yeah, I think yeah. it's like something that's gonna like eat at him.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah, when they did do this personality test, yeah, I was pretty sure it was Enneagram too. I had assumed that, and I was like, wait, they never said Enneagram, but the questions definitely sound like an Enneagram test. Mm-hmm. Do you know your number?
I don't. Like, I took, like, I don't know if it was an official one. I took like some really short quiz mm-hmm. way back when, and it was like between two. Not okay. November two, but like two different ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, so yeah, her questions were, or her answers were so different than what you would expect his to be. And you could tell by his facial reactions that he's getting a little worried, because it's just like, whoa, maybe I don't know her like I thought I did. And maybe he's personally been in the honeymoon phase this whole time, rather than taking a step back and realizing that they have these differences that they haven't talked about. But it does seem like it's starting to be a concern for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clara, she did talk to her friend before this, and Clara said, like, the best part is having someone to like always have stuff to do with. Mm-hmm. And her friend asked, like, did she have any concerns? And she was like, 10 out of 10, no complaints. It's like, mm-hmm. what? What was that energy when you were venting to the other wives about all the stuff?
Yeah.
It's like, this is not going to get you anywhere, not being honest.
I know. And they keep, like, they keep showing that clip, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is gold. This shows yeah. us her breaking point, because otherwise she's presenting it like we're great.
Mm-hmm.
They do have their last date. They go to some kind of like bowling football hybrid type of situation where you throw a football, but into bowling balls. And it was so dangerous. Like, Clara kept getting hit when Ryan was throwing it. Like, it was bouncing off the wall. So I just thought it was funny because he was having the time of his life. And she was just kind of like, okay, I can't wait for this to be over. And they're kind of talking about their relationship. And Ryan says, like, they're uniquely bound by the shared experience no matter what happens on decision day. And Clara's like, well, I wish you would, like, talk about decision day in a more positive light. And they had this conversation when they were sitting down for dinner after this little game thing. And so she gets up and walked out. I was like, did she really just leave him?
Mm.
Like, that was weird. It was so weird.
Yeah.
It's like we missed something in how it escalated. And then it just saw, like, we just saw Ryan sitting there, and then they cut to commercials. Like, what? It was like, did she actually leave, or was she just saying, like, oh, okay, I'm done with this conversation, I'm gonna go to the restroom, I'm gonna be back. So that was weird.
Yeah, that could be. It could be like editing like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so their last night together, Clara feels like Ryan is holding back, but she's felt that way this whole time. And Clara tells him, like, okay, we'll be husband and wife. Like, you know, we're only a couple days away from being husband and wife forever. And Ryan didn't say anything. And, he said he's trying to think through things objectively.
Yeah.
So yeah, the morning after, Clara says she's 100% certain what she'll say. And, Ryan is, like, Ryan is everything she's looking for, but she worries about, like, his level of commitment. So all these things kind of lead me to believe that on decision day, Clara will say yes and Ryan will say no. But then that would leave us with one couple, like, that stays married. I don't know.
But then, like, again, they're ones that I wonder, like, in the long term, if it won't work out. But then he just seems so, like, committed to a goal that I can see him, like, wanting to see it through. And just the way, like, the way he was talking about how he's, like, 99, like, percentile best husband.
Best husband, yeah.
I feel like that would go against, like, what he said. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Maybe they do stay married. Yeah, maybe he does. You know what? I'm just going to be optimistic and say stay married. Do you think they'll stay married?
I think they will, yeah.
Okay.
I think they're one of those, like, Karen Miles situations where, although Karen Miles, like, weren't, like, getting along as well, but I think, like, just that they kind of need the cameras to go away to really thrive.
Yeah, yeah. True. Yeah, because we could very well see them at the reunion, like, happy-go-lucky, he's in love, they're having a great time. You know, they could be in the best place ever.
Mm-hmm.
Once the cameras go away, because I just don't think the cameras are his comfort zone.
Yeah. I think he's like, oh, my parents are watching, my parents are pastors. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. So final predictions are Haley and Jacob will get divorced. Eric and Virginia, I think they'll get divorced. Amy, you think they'll stay married. Vincent and Brianna stay married. And then Ryan and Clara stay married.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what about, hey, let's not forget about Paige and Chris. They will be at decision day.
They'll suddenly decide, like, yeah, let's try this.
Yeah. So if you have not seen the preview, go out there and find the preview for the finale. They have Paige and Chris, and Chris is saying, like, oh, I, you know, they're basically trying to make us believe that Chris wants to give it another chance and Paige is thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the experts are just like, whatever, what, y'all are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, if anything, this time apart has allowed Paige to realize her worth. There's mm-hmm. no way anything comes out of this.
No.
Right?
Right.
I mean, especially, yeah, I mean, I guess especially in the stuff we've seen on social media, like he's been so vocal. Mm-hmm. I would think that if he's still married, he wouldn't be as vocal about the hate he's getting or whatever.
Right.
Because it'd be more like, wait and see. You never know what's going to happen. So, yes. So that's it for the proper episodes for Married at First Sight, season 12. We will be back to talk about the finale mm-hmm. and the next couple of episodes of Unmatchables. And we will have Jason Reed with us. I do have that confirmed.
Ooh.
So that will be fun. If you haven't heard from Jason, he is part of the RHAP class of 2020, and he's been on a few different podcasts around like Robin Akiva Nita podcast. He's been on Rob's podcast, and Rob has a podcast. He's been on reality TV wrap ups for a variety of shows. So yeah, it'll be definitely a treat having a male perspective mm-hmm. on this season, especially the finale. Mm-hmm. So definitely excited about that.
And on Unmatchables.
Yeah. Yes. So now, I mean, if you want to hop out, feel free. But I do want to tell you guys, like, it is the beginning of May. So it is the best time, if any, to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. So you could continue to support this podcast and all other RHAP shows by becoming a patron by going to robhasawebsite.com/patron. So it is, you know, the best time, if any, is at the beginning of the month. It is the beginning of May. So definitely, you know, go to that website so you can, you know, take advantage of all the awesome things that Rob is doing for patrons. And so if you do hop out now, go ahead. But if you want to hear a little bit about Unmatchables, stick with us for a little bit longer. And we're just going to try to dive into these first couple of episodes and give our takes. So I guess to paint the picture of what Unmatchables is, they say that, you know, 75,000 people apply for Married at First Sight, but then not everybody is matchable. Some people are unmatchable. So what they do is they find each episode focus only on two people. So they focus on two people that they consider unmatchable. They spend the week preparing them to become matchable. And then they go on a blind date with the other person that's also in that episode. And so the idea is that the experts, Dr. Viviana and Pastor Cal, will spend the week with each of the two. And then once they have their blind date, they should have like learned some lessons throughout the week. I think as Amy mentioned earlier, they do think that they are getting married at first sight because that's what they originally applied for. But the experts break to them, they are unmatchable. So they're trying to give them some tips and tricks to improve their dating. Anything else on like the overall concept of the show?
Yeah, it's kind of a different approach than what they've done in the past with these kind of spinoffs. It's more like, oh, we had so many great people, but we couldn't find the exact right match for them. So let's, you know, do the mm-hmm. second chance thing or the honeymoon island. So this is like more like ones that they're like, these people are hopeless, which is funny, like considering that like Chris got through the process, you know, like he should have been an unmatchable.
Yes, exactly. So I thought it was kind of a cute show. It was easy to get through. Mm-hmm. The people that they focused on were entertaining, because it's definitely the situation out there. A lot of people just not knowing what to do or not knowing that certain qualities are about them are the reason that things have not worked out with people. Mm-hmm. Let's dive into the first episode. So they focus on this woman named Ashley and a guy named Xavius. So first, let's talk a little about Ashley. So Ashley's 32. And the experts, what they say about her, she's a frequent farter. She has a codependent roommate and she's sexually inhibited. So with the frequent farter, she passes gas a lot and she's not shy about it. codependent roommate. She's been living with her roommate for 11 years. They basically like finish each other's sentences. They go everywhere together. And then she has been celibate for 11 years. She personally doesn't like kissing. She thinks it's too personal and wet.
I mean, she's really sweet.
She is. Such a sweet
I think
girl.
She's really cute. Like, she dresses really nice. Like, I like her style. But yeah, it seems like she needs some like personal work to kind of get comfortable with dating.
Yeah, exactly. and then Xavius is 25, so 7 years younger. So they're definitely not trying to like match up these people. It's just like,
that's what I was trying to understand. It's like, because really, like, if they're unmatchable, you shouldn't put two people that have all these issues together. They should each like how Ashley went on that kind of fake date. They should have set them up with different people. Maybe like some of the people from the Married at First Sight pool that were maybe more closely like matchable, you know, or something.
But yeah,
I guess it's just more practice. And if a love connection, they try to make it seem like they are trying to make a love connection, but I think that'll be pretty few and far between.
Right. Cause it's like, we both don't know what we're doing. We're both like in this situation where they can't even start to match us with another person. Then we're shooting in the dark. Yeah, very true. Another thing about Ashley and her roommate was that they have a conjoined shirt, as if they're like conjoined twins. So the guy that she said that they set her up with, Xavius, he's 25. The experts describe him as controlled by routine. He judges people on their physical features, and he's more comfortable around dead people because he works at a funeral home.
Yeah.
It was like, he has to know he's too much, right? he was a lot to handle, even in his intro package.
Yeah. I just don't know. But it made me think, like, okay, who would he have been matched with? Like, could he have been matched with Paige? Like, would that have worked better than Chris, at least? Like, if we're thinking like this is that same pool, I could see like Paige like trying to make it work with him instead. Like, right. I'm not sure about like the funeral director thing, but this is a bad choice for me.
Right.
I don't think he would have been as shallow as, even though he's shallow, I don't think he would have been as shallow as Chris was.
Right. Right. Exactly. Especially if he, I don't know. You would think, okay, if he's married, but we've seen crazier things.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was like he's 25 too.
Exactly. So the idea behind, like, before the experts spend the week with them, they do an initial home visit. So with Pastor Cal's initial home visit, like with Ashley, the main thing he got out of that was that she's super close to her roommate. That's it. Dr. Viviana with Xavius, we find out that he has a 20 to 30 minute face care routine. Like, oh, wow. That's intense.
Yeah. It's like another kind of meditation.
Right. Exactly. We could start with for Ashley. They kind of had two exercises for her. So the first one was Dr. Viviana met up with her in an intimacy shop and gets her a prosthetic mouth to make out with in the middle of the store.
It was really creepy looking.
It was. And Dr. Viviana was watching so intensely, just like, and then she finished. She's like, oh, do you want to try the tongue now? No, that's weird. But that was kind of funny. And the fact that she did it, I was like, okay, she's a good sport. I'd have been like, what is this? The second activity was a fake blind date. So they knew that Ashley would want to bring her roommate, and so they set her up, and she brings her roommate, and then Pastor Cal shows up. He's like, I knew you were going to bring your roommate, so look, let me show you how silly y'all look. And he ties their legs together, so her roommate sits at the table behind her. And then they kind of had like a paid actor come in as the date And he was in on the bit. And so he's just like, oh, come sit over here with me. And she's like, oh, I can't. You come sit over here with me. And so things are just awkward. And so she was just like, OK, I get the point. Like, I shouldn't bring her along with me on dates. I just thought that was kind of funny that they probably a situation where she was like, well, can my roommate come? And they're like, yes, yeah, she can come. And they set up the blind date.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that roommate. Like,
it is attached at the hip.
I know.
He's like, oh goodness. And so then, I guess like even 11 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine like living with someone for 11 years. You're probably, I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess
it's like family.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. They probably don't know how to do things alone. They probably don't ever have to do things alone because they have each other and they're both single. Mm-hmm. So for Xavius, the activity they had for him. So Pastor Cal showed up at 8 a.m. at his house and he blindfolded him. So Xavius is like, oh my gosh, I can't do my skincare routine. I need to get my clothes. Can I bring this? Can I bring this? And so Pastor Cal took him to a barbershop and was like, okay, you're getting whatever I say you're getting. And it was just freaking him out. And Pastor Cal was like, okay, no, you can get what you need. And he actually looked better after that. Mm-hmm. I was glad they took him to the barbershop. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing that he had was, he went to he met Dr. Viviana for a massage. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is kind of a weird massage because the lady only focused on his head. They had conversation. And then he comes out, he's like, yeah, we have really good conversation. But he was blindfolded. And so the whole purpose of the activity was for him to not judge someone based off their looks, because as she comes out, she's like a voluptuous woman, and he already said he doesn't like voluptuous women. And so he was shocked by her appearance, and he's like, okay, well, we had a good conversation, but she's not somebody I would talk to.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
Well, like, I just felt bad for the masseuse,
right?
Like, because exactly. It just sort of like, did she know what she was there for? And like his reaction to her when he did see her. So, I don't know. I just like didn't like how it was set up. Like, I feel like there would be maybe another way mm-hmm. that they could have done that.
Yeah, like she had to, or like somebody who had a makeover or something. Like, that's not actually how they looked. Mm-hmm. Kind of like on the next episode. Like, if they, like, maybe it was someone who, yeah. I don't know, but I guess that's a lot to put into just this small reveal, but mm-hmm. she had to agree to this. And if so, and if not, that's messed up.
Right.
So we finally get to their blind date, and I like how the blind dates happen. So we're watching the blind date, and then Pastor Cal and Dr. Viviana are drinking wine, watching it as well. So we get their live reactions, which is pretty funny because they're a little bit more unfiltered than Married at First Sight proper. Mm-hmm. So Xavius arrives at like 5:58 or something like that. And then Ashley shows up at 6:06. And the first thing Xavius says is, you're late. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, how are you ever going to be married at first sight when this is a big issue for you? Mm-hmm. Imagine. So Ashley said that was the first red flag for her. The occupation was the second red flag for her, that he worked at a funeral home. Then there was a moment that they make it seem like she passes gas. I'm like, honestly, like, do you think that actually happened?
I don't know. Maybe.
It just seems so easy to edit around like fart jokes, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Her best friend did call her repeatedly, but she didn't answer. And we do find out that like Xavius said he would not have approached her normally. And Ashley actually brings the prosthetic mouth. to the date in her purse and shows him. And he was very creeped out by that.
Yeah.
I was like, what are y'all? Are y'all trying not to keep this date going? I'm so confused.
Yeah. It's like, okay, when in doubt, like, here's some conversation fodder, I guess.
Yes. Okay. We don't have anything to talk about. Look what I have.
Yeah.
They do get up to dance, and Xavius cannot dance. And they kind of were like talking around, like kissing, of like that, like playful banter when you want to kiss but don't know what to say or whatever. And then they do kiss on the dance floor. And mm-hmm. at the end of the date, he asked for her number. I was like, oh, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Then we get the update that they kept in touch. They went on a second date in a cemetery. And Ashley said Xavius's lips gave her goosebumps. I was like, okay. So maybe it was a successful two dates. I checked her Instagram and his Instagram. There are no pictures together. So maybe they're not together. Mm. But I really think I think these blind dates are just for practice. There's no way they're thinking, oh, these people can work out. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the episodes. I liked them as people. Definitely didn't like them together. But hey, it was a good start to this brand new concept mm-hmm. that I could easily see them doing again. I mean, I know we're only like two episodes in, but I could easily see them trying to do a Matchables again. Just because the pool is so large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's something that can play out for sure. Like, they can easy enough to keep going, because you can have so many episodes just based on,
mm-hmm.
yeah, all the people you reject.
Yeah, exactly. So for the second episode, we meet Megan, who's 27, and Caleb, who is 26. So Megan, she wants somebody who's, so she's super athletic and super competitive, and she wants someone who is more competitive and more athletic than her. She, the experts describe her as having like, as being immature. She's super competitive, and she has a fear of rejection. Because with her fear of rejection, she doesn't want to look dumb. So she wants to end things with the guy before they end things with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that she was a hoot. she's something else. Because
mm-hmm.
then I was trying to imagine, like, what kind of guy would she be good with? Which I was like, okay, I guess that's why she's unmatchable. But
yeah,
like, what kind of guy could you even picture her with?
I don't know. I think it's like she's not ready for a marriage. So it's
yeah.
someone that, like, I think, you know, both these people would, like, just wanted to be on TV.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
So they're happy to be like, oh, yeah, I'm unmatchable. I'll stay on the show. Like, I don't know if there's anyone that they went to and they're like, yeah, I don't really want to be on the show unless I'm getting married. I think they all probably agreed right. to it.
Yeah, exactly. Because they probably like signed up for Married at First Sight. It's just like, oh, that'd be fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
With Caleb, he said he's been good looking his whole life. Doesn't have any problems meeting women. He's a trial and error type of guy. He's tired of just having different chicks, quote unquote. And the experts describe him as extremely conceited. He relies on his good looks and he avoids intimacy. Because mm-hmm. he just is with different girls yeah. all the time.
It's no problem.
Right. Yeah, so I was like, okay, this is definitely going to be interesting, because Megan is not the type of girl that he seems like he would talk to. But we'll see how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. So Viviana did the home visit with Megan. She sees the pantry full of noodles, freezer full of pizza and chicken nuggets, and Megan's last relationship was 8 years ago. So the two activities that she did, so she met Dr. Viviana at the junkyard. She said being embarrassed is like her defense mechanism. And so she was mad that her ex from 8 years ago had moved on before her. And then they were like smashing cars to kind of get out the aggression. It was really funny seeing Dr. Viviana out of her element.
Mm-hmm.
and like her junkyard gear.
Yeah. Yeah, they really put a lot of effort into these like activities for them.
Yeah, I'm telling
it's like
you.
Bachelor level.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, forget Haley and Jacob. We have unmatchables to focus on.
Right.
That's where their energy was. Mm-hmm. And then the second activity was she met up with Pastor Cal to cook. And Pastor Cal did point out, like, she probably loves fast food because of it's that instant gratification. And so they made like salmon and they were just cooking. And so, you know, we later find out she said she did learn how to cook from that experience. So that was good. Mm-hmm. Something.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a cooking class when she showed up, but then mm-hmm. it was just Pastor Cal doing all the work, yeah. like showing her how this is how you do it. Skin down.
So funny.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I guess that's a more affordable way to do it than having an actual cooking instructor. Mm-hmm. For Caleb. So Caleb did, Pastor Cal did his home visit. He had a roommate there. He likes Barbie. He said he likes Barbie dolls, meaning he likes women who look like Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. And he thinks very highly of himself. it's like conceited is definitely his middle name.
Mm-hmm.
One of the activities they had was Pastor Cal showed up and gave him a blow up doll. He said, this is going to be your new friend. And so Caleb was thinking like, okay, this is me hanging out with like these Barbie dolls because they don't have substance. But later he goes on a double date with Dr. Viviana and Pastor Cal. And they're like, oh, did you get the concept with the blow up doll? And he's like, oh, yeah, this. And they're like, no, it's actually because that's you. And you are the one that doesn't have the substance. Oh, burn.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that was a unique spin.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other activity they had for him was they did make under. And they gave him pimples and glasses and messed up his teeth and put him in an environment to try to talk to a girl at a coffee shop. And it definitely failed because he definitely does not know how to have conversation. He just relies on his looks.
Yeah.
And they paid someone to have like a one-on-one date with him. And the conversation was just so awkward because it's just like he sits there and waits for the girl to take the lead on the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know, the make under or whatever, it was so extreme that I wonder if mm-hmm. people were just like trying to figure out if it was makeup or not. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it was just so funny to me that I think he didn't even realize how much he just leans into just like smiling and trying to like use his charm
mm-hmm.
until it was just like awkward silence,
mm-hmm.
Which was continued on the actual blind date. So the blind date, they went to Topgolf. Have you ever been to Topgolf?
No, I want to. Like, I have a gift card, but I haven't gone. Like, it got it like right before the pandemic. But it seems like a pretty good place to like you'd be kind of separated, and you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a perfect like date place. I've gone too many times to count because they opened up one like where I used to live. And so me and my friend, it was just always an easy thing to do. My friends and I would go, or someone come to town and be like, oh, let's go to Topgolf. So it's definitely a fun place. The food is good. The drinks are good. And then playing the golf is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not good, it's just like bowling where it's like, okay, you'll hit something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was a great idea, date idea, especially if you're someone that's competitive like Megan. They did have matching outfits. They had like the exact same color shirt and pants. That was funny.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm used to girls having like tight skin tight jeans or tights. And so she definitely like did not appear like girls he's used to.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of, he said her style is a bit more casual than I'm used to. And yeah, they were sitting down, like getting their drinks and stuff, and he had nothing to say. And she was just like, okay, you know, let's have a conversation. He's just like, nothing. It was just so weird.
Yeah.
And he suggested shots and was like, is it not like 2 p.m.? And Megan had to resist the urge for chicken nuggets. And they ordered like a margarita pizza. And he said he could see himself bringing her around his friends and maybe his family. I think that was just kind of him trying to say like the nice thing. Mm-hmm. She's really good at the golf and he's bad. I don't know why I keep saying the golf. She's really good at golf and he is not. And so that was funny. Mm-hmm. But then he kind of caught me out by surprise and he's like, okay, if I make the next one, then you have to give me a kiss. And then he ends up making it. And so then they do kiss. I was like, oh, I got total friend vibes from this date. So I was surprised that he did that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, maybe something got through to him.
Right. All those exercises during the week really paid off. And so the update, we find out that he did take her on another date to a strip club and it burned his chances with her. And that basically was their last date. What? What? I need an explanation. Why? Right? Was that his choice?
It doesn't make sense.
Yes, at all. So that's what we have for you for Unmatchables. It's an interesting concept for a show. So I could definitely see, you know, some episodes being more interesting than others, mm-hmm. Based on the people.
Yeah, like I was more interested in the first episode than the second mm-hmm. one. So I was just like,
yeah,
not into Caleb.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's so superficial and it's just like, oh no, mm-hmm. that's not it. How were you going to get married?
Yeah.
So like I said at the very beginning, we will be covering these while we do Married at First Sight. So when we cover the finale next week, we will be covering the next couple of Unmatchables. And then when we cover the reunion, we'll also touch on the next couple of Unmatchables. And then we'll go from there. We'll be flexible. We'll see what happens. If they do continue past the reunion, then we'll reassess to see like if we need to hop in and kind of like talk about the last batch of episodes and just basically see how long they're gonna do this, this spinoff. Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of those last two could have been matched with, like, swap them in for anyone that was currently on this season?
Oh, that's a good point. So this was in Atlanta. So let me think. Okay, let me think. So for the first episode with Ashley. Okay, so I don't think Xavius could have been imagine. Like Brianna with him instead. Like, oh, no.
But I could see Paige. Like, I could see it like going even a little better.
Yeah. It could because
it seemed like he was at least like willing to work on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. It's just like, I wonder, is he too immature for Paige?
Yeah, true.
Because it would seem like a Paige has the upper hand. She like owns her house or like she's a real estate agent. She was renting out a house that she owned. It seemed like she just really had her stuff together. Mm-hmm. And he kind of is still in that figuring it out stage.
Right.
But yeah, let me.
I don't think that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. They could, but. Hmm.
No, yeah, not with the guys that were there that are on this season 12. But then Megan. Okay, what about Megan and Jacob? Hmm. I think they could have fun.
I think they would have been a little better.
Yeah. Because she's a 27, so still a 10-year age difference. And I think she would have been as forgiving. Yeah, she could work out with him, even though he only does steak and eggs. That's okay, because she only does the nugs.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, that could have been a good...
Yeah, they would just have, like, there's their same routine. Like,
yeah, just, she's like, not
need a little space sure. in the freezer, and
yeah, yeah, that could have been an interesting match, but yeah, Caleb, no, well, okay, what about Caleb and Haley?
Hey, like she, like if she's worried about looks, you know, mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
that's, you know, what I'm getting at.
I think so, she would have like worked a little harder. It would have been like a different dynamic. She would have been like into him maybe at the beginning, mm-hmm. and yeah, I think maybe she would have tried a little harder. But I don't know that. I don't know who he's dating exactly, but what did he say? Like they were like plastic looking or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically,
so she doesn't look plastic.
Mm-hmm. It just sounds like he like Instagram models, mm-hmm. which I'm like, are you really are you dating women like that?
Right.
Because I'm just thinking of like equally matched.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know if we saw him with like his shirt off or anything, but
yeah,
maybe he's reached. I don't know.
Yeah, he wasn't all that impressive, right?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to say. Yeah, he's no like. I'm just trying to think of like, I was thinking like Big Brother, but like, there. I mean, there are just so many guys out there that are just like, you look at him, you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I didn't get whoa vibes from Caleb.
No.
But awesome. So that's all we have. Anything else for Married at First Sight or Unmatchables?
I don't think so. I mean, if we, we got many more episodes to watch, it seems like, so if we forget something.
We thought we were almost out of here, but we are not. We are here to stay.
Yep.
Well, awesome. Thank you guys for sticking with us up to this point. You could go follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So it's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recap Room.
Awesome. So once again, thank you for sticking with us, and definitely check out Unmatchables if you haven't yet, if you just want to give it a look. It's definitely an easy watch, easier watch than what season 12 has been. We definitely will talk to you guys next week. So see you then.
Bye.